Many years ago, a very popular country and western group, Alabama, published a song with the title Angels Among Us. Some of you might recall that song. One of the sentences go like this: Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. The question I have for all of you today is, are angels among us today, right now? Well, let's turn to a familiar scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd like to read verses 22 to 23. Hebrews 12, verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church. It says of the firstborn, better first begotten. You have come to an innumerable company of angels. Other translations say here, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. When we, as God's church, assemble on the Sabbath, we come to the gathering of countless happy angels, as some translations have it. We come to angels who have gathered for the festival, as other translations have it. But why? Why would angels be even interested in the sacred assemblies of God's people? Well, let's turn to a familiar scripture again in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, and let's look at verse 10. 1 Peter 1, 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Angels desire to look into the things which are revealed to the church of God. Now, how is that desire fulfilled? Let's go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So, to accept what the Bible tells us very clearly, God reveals the truth to his church, which is also called the pillar of the truth. It's also called the custodian or the steward of the mysteries of God. And the church, in proclaiming it, reveals it to the angels in heaven. Now, you got to think about that one. But this is part of the church's responsibility, the church's commission towards angels. Now, what then is the responsibility of angels towards the church, towards church members? towards prospective members. Do we have guardian angels who watch us, who protect us? Now let's turn to an interesting passage in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. Peter, the apostle Peter, was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door was keeping the prison. And now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, "It is his angel." So they obviously believed in a particular angel, a guardian angel, who would look after Peter. That was a belief of the early church. That was a belief of the Apostle Paul. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here Paul is talking about head coverings. And in verse 10 he says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Now he's talking about not a head covering per se, he's talking about hair length. But the point I want to make is, it says because of the angels. Why? Because God, through his angels, protects and observes Christian women who respect Christ as their authority, as their head. And Christ confirms that. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, he makes another beautiful statement about guardian angels, about the responsibility, the commission angels have towards the church. Matthew 18 and verse 10. He says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Their angels, the angels of the little ones, that could refer to true Christians who have to become like children. It can refer to young children growing up in the truth. Their angels in the heavens, as it should say, see always the Father's face who is in the heavens, as it should say. Other translations have here, they are continuously in the Father's presence, or they have constant access to the Father. The German Menge Bible writes, "Their angels," that is, their guardian angels, "in heaven, see always the face of my heavenly Father." You see, when we bless little children, and we traditionally do this during the Feast of Tabernacles, we are asking God to give them protection through his angels. to assign guardian angels to the children, to protect the children from harm. And when the children grow up and come to repentance, then the angels in heaven rejoice. Notice this in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and at verse 7. I say to you, that's Jesus Christ speaking, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. God's angels are referred to as ministering spirits. It says in the book of Hebrews, they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for or serve those who will inherit salvation. They're also called the servants, our servants, when we keep God's word. Revelation 22 and verse 9 tells you that. At the same time, when we assemble in church services on the weekly Sabbath, on the annual holy days, we are coming to a multitude of angels who watch us, who listen to us, who listen to our messages with an eagerness to learn. Perhaps more so than we sometimes do. Our eagerness in regularly attending church services, or the lack of it, shows God, shows His and our angels where our heart really is. Are there angels among us? Right now? You had better believe it.